Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weisop. Today, we're in the Grey Lodge. Today, we've got a very special episode. We're really close to that season two finale, which for many folks was the series finale of Twin Peaks. And we're really going to start unpacking all of these occult themes that we've been building up to this point on this show. Today, we're going to learn as much as David Lynch and Mark Frost wanted us to know when it comes to sigils, the Owl Cave petroglyph symbols, Windham Earl's pursuit of the Black Lodge, Annie's shadow, astrological movements. We're talking about Saturn and Jupiter in conjunction. And we're also going to find out who wins Miss Twin Peaks. This is kind of it, folks. This is going to be the last time they hold our hands and walk us through this occult theme. Because in the next episode, in the Series 2 finale, it starts getting real weird, alright? So this is a very important episode. And I've got a quick correction from the last episode of the Grey Lodge series. I said that Annie's background of being a nun was the only clear concept of Christianity on the show, but that's just not true. If we look at season one, episode four, you can see inside of Major Briggs's home, and there's an altar set up. And you see palm leaves, which is a reference to Palm Sunday in Christianity, as well as a crucifix with Christ, because he knows the power of Christ's name with the when faced up against the fallen angels and these evil entities and such. And we also know that Dr. Hayward asked Donna if she was going to church with him in the morning. So there's actually multiple instances of Christianity in the story. We're going to hear more in this episode about Annie's role as a Christian figure with the events that will unfold. All right? Okay. So Leo and Major Briggs, they're chained up in Wyndham's cabin. Leo attempts to get up to, you know, find a key to unlock his shackles. We're thinking, okay, maybe Leo has gone a full transformation and he's going to be our hero. He gets a key, but it only unlocks Briggs' shackles. And he tells him to go save Shelley because he knows Wyndham Earl, you know, he's got these queen cards set up and Shelley's one of the potential victims to win Twin Peaks. Leo coming through with the selfless, pursuit here. Think about this, right? Leo's been a total scumbag up to this point, and he doesn't say, Briggs, go get me some help. He says, go save Shelley. I mean, I would argue we've got a full redemption story for Leo. Prove me wrong. And I'm very curious about this change of heart from him. Since coming from the, you know, he woke up from the coma, tried to kill Shelley, and that's when he escaped and went stumbling through the woods and got ensnared by Windham Earl. So it seems that Leo is in the White Lodge at this point. He's loving Shelley in the sense of the unconditional kind of love. So Windham Earl comes back, finds Briggs gone. And you'll notice his face is pale white with dark teeth, like black teeth, like a demon. And he's definitely not happy with Leo. Where was he? What was he out doing? Why did he come back with a white face and black teeth? We're going to find out. Meanwhile, over at the Double R Diner, we hear that Norma won Miss Twin Peaks 20 years ago, and she is a judge in today's Miss Twin Peaks. And Norma says, this is a big event, and it's important who wins it. And she's right, it will be very important to Windham Earl as well. But Annie suggests that Laura Palmer is the key focus here. Now, why would that be? Why would she say that? Well, I mean, the town lost Laura Palmer. Everyone's really affected by it. We haven't talked about Laura Palmer in many episodes. But, you know, maybe Laura's coming back into Twin Peaks in some weird way here. I don't know. We'll see. Back at the Great Northern, Ben's trying to be a good guy still. He's reading the Quran, the Bhagavad Gita, the Tao Te Ching, and the Bible, of course, to try and learn humanity's philosophy of good. He's seeking the answers of how he can be a good person. Still continuing on that journey. And he's talking to Audrey in front of the fireplace, and Audrey tells him how much she misses Jack. Because you remember, they made sexy time, and he had to head out to, you know, tend to his dead friend or whatever. And about how she can't wait for him to return. And Ben consoles her, if you can believe that. Ben Horn. Again, another full redemption story in a way. And she said that she's afraid she'll never see him again. You know, she's in love with him. And she tells... Anyway, she back to business, right? She tells Daddy Ben that the Packards are using the Twin Peaks Savings and Loan Bank to funnel cash into the Ghostwood project. But the bank doesn't want this negative publicity that's building over the destruction of the Pine Weasel and the National Forest and all that, right? So you know what Ben's thinking. You know, Ben's still a cold-blooded killer inside, right? He's thinking he's going to give them all the publicity that he can to try to light this up, right? And Ben is like, okay, Audrey, now you're going to have to give a speech at Miss Twin Peaks for the Stop Ghostwood campaign, right? We'll see, right? There's been this sort of confusion as to what Ben's role is going to be. Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Maybe he's a little bit of both. We don't know. But he's still pursuing to end this Ghostwood development that Catherine is now running. Because remember, Catherine duped him and got him out of prison in exchange for signing this over. So there's still a little bit of that spite left in Ben. Okay, we're back in the sheriff's department now. And now we've got even more sigils. If you can believe it, they're littering the scene with sigils. They never explain it. You'd have to know what you're looking at. You'd have to know what you're looking for. And the one behind Cooper, and I'll put these images on my Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt. One behind Cooper, you can see it has a star on the top, and it looks very similar to the sigil for Astaroth. It's a demon. I'm going to read you from the Lesser Keys of Solomon. The 29th spirit is Astaroth. He is a mighty strong duke and appeareth in the form of a hurtful angel riding on an infernal beast like a dragon and carrying in his right hand a viper. Thou must in no wise let him approach too near unto thee, lest he do thee damage by the noisome breath. Here, listen to this part. Wherefore, the magician must hold the magical ring near his face, and that will defend him. He giveth true answers of things past, present, and to come, and can discover all secrets. Remember back in, I think it was season 1, episode 3, in the Red Room, we heard that Laura Palmer, she's filled with secrets. He will declare wittingly how the spirits fell, if desired, and the reason of his own fall. He can make men wonderfully knowing in all liberal sciences. He ruleth 40 legions of spirits. His seal is this, which wear thou as a layman before thee, or else he will not appear nor yet obey thee. Oh boy. Got a lot of these and thous going on there. But like I said, recall Laura is filled with secrets from season 1. It was either episode 2 or 3. And we also heard in the past that Cooper is the magician. Remember the through the darkness of futures past, the magician longs to see one chance out between two worlds. Fire, walk with me. So does Astaroth hold the answer of what they're looking for? And if armed with the correct sort of magical ring, which is something that comes up in Twin Peaks, you can get these truths. What's the truth we're looking for? Is it future? Is it past? The magician longs to see. That's Cooper. He's trying to unravel this whole case. So I would argue that in the sheriff's department, he's got these sigils of demons up because he's trying to find a way to metaphysically combat these spiritual battles that are going on right now. Cooper thinks Wyndham Earle targeted Major Briggs because of the connections they have with Project Blue Book, kind of true, right? And how Wyndham Earle has been trying to get into the Black Lodge since 1965. That's what we hear. So now we know there is a motivation. Wyndham Earle is definitely trying to get into the Black Lodge. Cooper reveals to Truman something that he realized when Josie died. Remember when Josie died and her face ended up in the nightstand? He tells Truman about how she was trembling with fear and how he saw Bob. And about how Bob is attracted to the fear. And how Bob comes from the Black Lodge, which is the evil in the woods that we've been hearing about since the beginning of this whole saga. And it's actually very telling. We'll come back and unpack this a little more. Take a listen.
What is it?
She was trembling with fear. I would go as far as to say quaking like an animal. I might venture a guess to say that it was the fear that killed her. At the moment of her death, I saw Bob, as if he had slipped in through some crevice in time. Upon reflection, I believe there's a connection between his appearance and Josie's fear, as if he was attracted to it, feeding off it somehow.
You see a connection between Bob and the Black Lodge?
Harry, I think it's where he comes from. I think that the Black Lodge is what you have referred to in the past as the evil in these woods. If Wyndham Earle is seeking access to that, it is imperative that we find our way in before he does. There is a source of great power there, Harry. Far beyond our ability to comprehend.
Eureka! Dale, I could kiss your pointy little head. It's fear. It's fear, Leo. That's the key. My favorite emotional state. And all this time, it's been staring me right in the kisser. Leo, it's marvelous. A perfect fit. These night creatures that hover on the edge of our nightmares are drawn to us when we radiate fear. It's that bread and butter. Perfect symbiosis. Oh, nature, perfect in design and aspects. You do not disappoint. Leo, look lively. Victory is at hand. We know where the entrance is. We know when the lock appears. Now, we hold the key in our hands. Forgive my hasty departure, dear one. But the time has come to gather my beloved queen and embark upon our dark honeymoon. I haven't been this excited since I punctured Caroline's aorta.
So fear is something that draws in these evil spirits like Bob. And we hear this, I heard this first from David Icke in, I don't even know, one of his lectures, one of his books, about the Archons, which is a Gnostic term, but whatever. The idea remains the same, that evil spirits use fear as a form of sustenance. That's why they're spiking humanity with fear, because they need that form of energy to manifest into our world. And now looking back, I'm like, did David Icke get this idea from watching Twin Peaks? He might have. But either way, Wyndham Earle, he's still spying on the conversations. He's got this surveillance briefcase in the cabin there. And he has this realization that that is, in fact, how the creatures are drawn to us, is through fear. They're feeding off of the fear. It's their bread and butter, as he says. And he says that's his favorite emotional state. And fear, turns out, is the key to the Black Lodge. And he talks about nature's perfect design and symbiosis, because he understands that there's a balance between the left and the right-hand paths, and how I would argue the left-hand pathers could take power from the Black Lodge. And symbiosis means there's a mutual beneficial relationship for the two different organisms, like the host and the parasite. And what we're talking about is that samsara, that perfect circle, the balance of the left and right-hand paths, the donut that Lynch keeps telling us to keep our eye on. And what the problem is that when a practitioner decides to take that left-hand path, they are trying to absorb all the power, and it throws things out of balance. And I don't know where that ends. I just know that that's the theory that I've read in Lords of the Left-Hand Path. So is that the real danger here, that Windham Earle is going to throw things out of balance? He's going to use this new knowledge he has. He's going to get his queen from the Miss Twin Peaks contest. He's going to take her on the dark honeymoon. And at this point, he also admits to killing Caroline as well. How fun it was. That was his wife. That was Cooper's love. Windham, he's got Leo cuffed up, but now he's got his a rope or something tied around his tooth and strung up to a box full of spiders. And I think, you know, when you watch this, he kind of leaves. This is like a jigsaw from Saw, the movie Saw. It's kind of what we're looking at here. I think because I guess the threat is that Leo, if he, you know, gets up or moves too fast, this box of spiders is going to fall on his head. Well, I mean, most spiders aren't deadly, especially not the big tarantulas, as far as I know. So I don't know if it's like a threat of death, but what we're talking about is fear. He's trying to spike fear into the environment because fear is the key to the Black Lodge. So meanwhile, the Great Northern, they're preparing for the Miss Twin Peaks contest, and you'll notice they're rehearsing on a checkered floor. There's that Masonic Lodge floor again, the black and white duality. And the instructor says that they're doing a celebration of nature dance. And he tells them to sort of bend over like a sapling tree. And that's interesting because we've been talking about trees this whole time. The Douglas firs, the woods, the Ghostwood National Forest, the sycamores, and so on. In fact, there's an image I'll put out there. There's a scene where the guy's walking around with a deer in this very provocative sort of stance, like he's making sexy time. I don't know. Lana, of course, she still wants to win. She lures Dick into the storage room. Presumably, she's going to really sway his vote. Meanwhile, Cooper's in his room. He completes his second meditation of the day. And I should note that transcendental meditation consists of two meditations a day. So, you know, Cooper, Kyle MacLachlan has said that he's basically David Lynch on the show. That's kind of how David Lynch is, apparently. Because David Lynch does TM. Anyways, he's dictating to Diane about the cave map, and there's this power of this unholy place, and they're looking for reasons diametrically opposite to Windham, meaning Windham Earle wants to unlock the Black Lodge, Cooper and them want to unlock White Lodge, right? Love and fear. And he talks about how Annie is the greatest thing to happen to him since Caroline. And he describes Annie as pure and innocent, which I think is relevant to the season finale as to why Annie's so important to this story. So Annie shows up to Cooper's room, and they're discussing her speech that she's going to give at Miss Twin Peaks to protect the forest. And she says some interesting things about how the forest has a shadow and about protecting the trees, which fits into that theory we've casually discussed here and there about the idea of man destroying nature and nature fighting back. You know, and Cooper talks about how the Ghostwood Development Project wouldn't go forward if it was going to cost human lives. But I want you to listen to the clip. But they're going to end up talking about the shadow a little bit. And then they're going to make sexy time. Can you believe it? We're going to have the ultimate White Lodge experience today. Take a listen.
Diane, it's 1:17 p.m. I have just concluded my second meditation of the day in lieu of sleep, and I feel completely refreshed and struck again by the realization that all of us on this great big planet Earth live at only a fraction of our potential. We are working round the clock on the cave petroglyph. I am certain that the answers lie in this mysterious etching. I am also convinced that Windham Earle is searching for exactly the same thing as we are, for diametrically opposite reasons. If I am correct in my assumptions about the power of this unholy place, God help us if he gets there first. Diane, at this particular juncture, I would like to make specific mention of Annie Blackburn. She is a completely original human being, her responses as pure as those of a child. I must be honest, I haven't felt this way about a woman since Carolyn. It has taken meeting Annie for me to realize how gray my life has been since Carolyn's death. How cold, solitary. Although occasionally there is something to be said for solitude. Annie Blackburn, you have almost perfect timing.
It's not what our choreographer says.
What can I do for you?
Well, I need to give a speech in 6 hours. I haven't written a word, and I don't have any idea what I want to say. I'm in a complete sweaty palm panic, and I need to talk to someone, namely you.
What's your topic?
What you can do to save our local forests. I just don't want to stand up there like some deranged Barbie doll saying things like, make sure your campfires are out, kind of like my brain.
You're terrified of public speaking?
Yes.
All right. Well, our forests need saving because of the way people regard them.
Expendable.
If the Ghostwood development cost thousands of lives, do you think it would have a chance of going forward?
Well, trees aren't the same as people, but they are alive.
Your forest is beautiful and peaceful.
Part of it's been damaged. I've tried to replant, but nothing's taken root. Every forest has its shadow. I can see half my life's history in your face. And I'm not sure that I want to.
Let's re-unpack that. So Annie's speech is about the trees being alive, and I start thinking about all those swaying trees we've seen on the show, all those shots we saw, and Annie compares the trees to herself, saying that she tried to plant seeds, but nothing grew, and how every forest has a shadow, meaning she has got a shadow side. And she says that you can see half of her life's history in Cooper's face. What does that mean? What does that mean? But the shadow is a concept we talked about already on this Grey Lodge series back in season 2, episode 11, The Masked Ball. So it appears we're not even close to done with this talk of the shadow. And it's interesting, she talks about how she has a shadow and the forest has a shadow. The forest, of course, has this presence of evil, the Black Lodge that Cooper just told Truman. Man, these women, strong women in Twin Peaks, but boy, they go through a lot, don't they? And then Cooper grabs her and smooches her down, and then they make a love, and then, very White Lodge. Peak White Lodge activities happening on this episode. And the significance of FBI Special Agent Dale Cooper making love is actually quite monumental in this show. Right, he's finally unlocked something that he hasn't had since the tragedy of Caroline. Nadine and Mike, they're at Dr. Jacoby's with Ed and Norma discussing their new relationships and how all of them are getting married. And, you know, things are heating up so much on the occult side of Twin Peaks that when we go back to this storyline, it's painful in a way. You're like, I don't care about this, you know? Like, you've got this anxiety. You're like, what's going on with the Black Lodge? Where's Wyndham Earl? You know. Well, Briggs, he's still escaping through the woods. He's shaking off the drugs. And Deputy Hawk sees him, and he picks him up, takes him back to the sheriff's department. And we see the earmarks, that ear, you know, the neck tat that Briggs has. It looks a little different than the one we saw on episode 13. I'm sure it's just a continuity error. But Cooper asks Garland Briggs about what happened to him, and he starts rambling about Judy. Judy Garland. Another Oz reference, right? We know Lynch is obsessed with Wizard of Oz, and he talks about the King of Romania is unable to attend. He's just gibberish, right? Well, remember back when Leland Palmer sang Come On, Get Happy forever ago at this point? Well, that was a song by Judy Garland, who, of course, plays Dorothy in Wizard of Oz. It could just be another Oz reference baked in by Lynch. But note that Major Briggs' first name is, in fact, Garland. Garland Briggs, Judy Garland. The reference to the King of Romania could be referring to Cooper as the King card, right? Remember that the King card that Briggs saw in Wyndham Earl's cabin next to the three Queen cards, the Miss Twin Peaks potentials. So Cooper says that Briggs was shot with haloperidol. That's that psychotic, antipsychotic drug that Mike was taking forever ago. And you can see, so that is interesting that there's this connection of Mike on that same drug, and Mike has this sort of weird connection to the Black Lodge and the occult and Bob. And Wyndham Earl apparently has access to the same drug. So then you can see that there's some photos affixed to the wall of the sheriff's department, and you see the photo above Briggs. It looks like a guy in a Baphomet pose. I'm still trying to unpack what this is. I've got all these different versions of the show. I'm trying to get like the ultra 4K on the big screen. Maybe I'll buy the Blu-rays. I don't know. I can't really tell what it is, but it does have the two fingers salute, one arm up, one arm down, which is the as above, so below, which is the magician concept in the Hermetic axioms, as above, so below. So Cooper, he's explaining how to get into the Black Lodge at this point. He says the door will open at the right place at the right time, and he compares it to a shooting star. But being at the right place at the right time is the key here. And you'll hear Andy, he's looking at the OWL map, and he's like, hey, is the 4-H Club part of this? Take a listen.
How much time we got?
Not enough. Let's leave him here with us. Maybe something will bubble up. Harry, we're in trouble. If the door to the Black Lodge does exist, it probably exists at a point in time. Now, an object, such as a door, normally exists at a point in time and space. By way of contrast, a shooting star normally exists at a point in time over a continuum of space. But taken from the star's point of view, it's a completely different experience.
You just lost me.
No. If we're not at the right place at exactly the right time, we won't find our way in.
Sheriff? Could the 4-H Club have anything to do with all of this? Doubtful, Andy.
So now we know there's a timing to get into the Black Lodge. All right. So Pete Martell, there's an OWL figure in his kitchen, first off. Let's talk about that. But him and Andrew Packard, they're trying to open this box, and Andrew ends up shooting the box, and it exposes a key. And those two guys and Catherine, they all agree, like, look, we're just going to put this key out in plain sight of everyone. And as Pete points out, they don't trust each other. So Catherine grabs the key and she throws it in a cake saver so that it's in plain sight. All right, great. Donna, she's heading out to the Miss Twin Peaks contest. She's still pressing for the truth from her parents. And she threatens to go directly ask Ben Horn what his relationship is to this family if they don't tell her. But they refuse. They will not say it. What is going on? Back to the sheriff's department, Cooper's reading from a book and realizes that Andy was talking about the 4-H Club because of the astrological symbols on the OWL petroglyph map. Take a listen.
By heavens! Andy! Take a look at this. What you mistook for the 4-H Club, the 4 and the H, are actually astrological symbols.
You mean like planets?
Why, yes, Andy. They stand for Jupiter and Saturn. Some of the others represent planets as well, but this particular part of the puzzle pertains to a precise planetary position. Jupiter and Saturn in conjunction.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, historically, Harry, when Jupiter and Saturn are conjunct, there are enormous shifts in power and fortune. Jupiter being expansive in its influence, Saturn contractive. Conjunction suggests a state of of intensification, concentration. What this indicates to me is the potential for explosive change, good and bad.
So when's the next conjunction?
Well, now let's see. According to the ephemeris, the next conjunction is due January to June. My God, Harry, the door to the lodge. That's when it's open. That's what the puzzle is telling us. It's telling us when it's going to be open.
Protect the queen.
If it's telling us when, then it must also tell us where.
Fear and love opens the doors.
What's he saying?
He said fear and love open the doors.
Two doors, two lodges. Fear opens one, the black, love the other.
What does that mean?
I don't know exactly, it just came to me.
How does the queen?
Of course, the queen.
Of Romania?
No, the chess game's final piece. Harry, follow my logic. If Wyndham Earl takes the queen,
the game's not over till he takes the king.
Now, that depends. Maybe he takes her to the doorway when it opens.
Which queen are we talking about?
Agent Cooper.
Just a minute, Andy.
The queen. The queen. The crown. The queen. Harry, the queen.
Agent Cooper?
Andy, please. Harry. Miss Twin Peaks.
Holy smokes, that's it.
Yeah.
Agent Cooper, please.
Andy. Plan's been bugged.
This bonsai isn't from Josie, Harry. This bonsai's from Wyndham Earl. He's way ahead of us. And we've been working for him from the beginning. What time does that contest start?
Any minute.
Let's go!
Now in the scene, there's also another sigil. And this one appears to be Belial. I'm going to read to you from, again, S.L. McGregor Mather's Lesser Keys of Solomon. The 68th spirit is Belial. He is a mighty and powerful king and was created next after Lucifer. He appeareth in the form of two beautiful angels sitting in a chariot of fire. He speaketh with a comely voice and declareth that he fell first from among the worthier sort that were before Michael and other heavenly angels. His office is to distribute presentations and senatorships and to cause favor of friends and foes. He giveth excellent familiars and govern 50 legions of spirits. Note well that this King Belial must have offerings, sacrifices, and gifts presented unto him by the exorcist, or else he will not give true answers unto his demands. But then he tarrieth not 1 hour in the truth, unless he be constrained by divine power, and his seal is this, which is to be worn as aforesaid. I don't know what they're saying, but I do hear that King Belial needs sacrifices, blood sacrifices, I would argue. If you go to Wikipedia, they say that Belial is actually identified as the devil in the Bible. I should note that Belial is also in the Satanic Bible. Anton LaVey has an Earth chapter, and it's called the Book of Belial, and it's all about ritual magic. I'm going to read to you from it now. Belial means without a master and symbolizes true independence, self-sufficiency, and personal accomplishment. Belial represents the earth element, and herein will be found magic with both feet on the ground. Real, hardcore magical procedure, not mystical platitudes devoid of objective reason. Probe no longer, here is bedrock. So without a master, this refers to the rebel, and that is what this is all about. The left-hand path is the rebellion path. The separation from the consciousness of God to make oneself become God. And that's what the Luciferian archetype represents to these folks. And there's a section in Anton LaVey's book, The Theory and Practice of Satanic Magic. And he breaks down his understanding of the difference between white magic and black magic. Listen to this for, you know, White Lodge, Black Lodge. He says, there is no difference between white and black magic, except in the smug hypocrisy, guilt-ridden righteousness, and self-deceit of the white magician himself. In the classical religious tradition, white magic is performed for altruistic, benevolent, and good purposes, while black magic is used for self-aggrandizement, personal power and evil purposes. No one on Earth ever pursued occult studies, metaphysics, yoga, or any other white light concept without ego gratification and personal power as a goal. It just so happens that some people enjoy wearing hair shirts and others prefer velvet or silk. What is pleasure to one is pain to another, and the same thing applies to good and evil. Every practitioner of witchcraft is convinced that he or she is doing the right thing. So LaVey would argue that there is no difference between White Lodge or Black Lodge, which I think is actually pretty interesting. He almost takes on a Christian perspective of this stuff. And I think that's the whole idea of Satanists, is they say, like, let's just be honest and cut the BS. Like, we're all into this for ego fulfillment, which I don't know. Interesting food for thought there, right? Back to Twin Peaks, though. Cooper points out that this astrological symbol that Andy saw, the 4-H Club, is actually the astrological symbols for Saturn and Jupiter. And when the conjunction of these two planets happens, it has enormous shifts and intensifications of energy because Jupiter is expansive in its influence while Saturn is restrictive in its influence. Because remember, Saturn represents time and measurements and constraints. And it has the potential for explosive change, good or bad, or good and bad. Worse yet, the conjunction is January to June, and that's exactly when the Black Lodge door will open, because if you recall, we're smack dab in the center of that at the end of March. And it is interesting, because when we get to the next episode, you're going to see these explosive changes. Right now we have explosive changes of good. Next episode, we're going to have explosive changes of bad. But recall, way back in the first season, we saw that image of Saturn in the Red Room. Do you remember this? And it's becoming clear we're dealing with the Black Lodge Saturnian forces, the Brotherhood of Saturn. And this further confirms the theory that the Miss Twin Peaks contest is happening on Easter Sunday, March 26th, because that is right in the middle of the window of January to June. Cooper also says that the other sigils on the petroglyph represent other planets as well. You know, astrology is the first occult art. And we hear Briggs say that fear and love open the doors to the Black and White Lodge, respectively. Cooper realizes love opens the door to the White Lodge, fear opens the door to the Black Lodge. He says it's an idea that just came to him, the intuition. He's tuning in, man. Cooper tries to decipher what it means for Wyndham to take the queen, as opposed to the game of chess where you want to take the king. You don't want to take the queen. Why does he want to take the queen? And Cooper realizes that the queen is Miss Twin Peaks, and Wyndham isn't really trying to take the king, is what he thinks. He's just using the queen to take him to the doorway of the Black Lodge. Now, I still don't understand why that would be, but I think he's trying to get Cooper into checkmate. Andy accidentally knocks over the bonsai tree. They confirm there's that audio bug that Wyndham Earl put there. Now everything's coming together. Andy has something to tell Cooper, but they rush out the door. They pay no mind. Andy, what else is there, bro? Andy's on to something. He's tuned in too. So the Miss Twin Peaks contest is on. The women are dancing on the black and white Freemason floor. Because if you listen to my episode where I went up to Twin Peaks to meet Mary Reber, who plays Alice Tremont in season 3, I talked about how there's all these Freemasonic lodges up that way. Right, in fact, right next to the Double R Diner, there's a Freemason lodge. And then right down the street from the first Laura Palmer home, a Freemason lodge. But these women, they're dancing, and it feels like the end of Twin Peaks. It's like a final credit of sorts, is what it feels like to me. You know, it's just a feeling it gives out, because every female character is in this contest, and let me say, Lucy is crushing it in the dance contest. I mean, this might be the most slept-on woman in Twin Peaks. I mean, Lucy's kind of pulling baddie moves here, and you're like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Maybe her, all these women in Twin Peaks are great. Lana, she's doing a contortionist dance. The men are going into a trance, right? And Audrey, she's giving a speech about protecting nature, as, you know, Ben Horn wanted her to do, to protect the Ghostwood. So I guess she's, you know, pursuing She's fully aligned with her dad, Ben Horn. I guess that's not right. But Cooper and Truman, they're now at the Miss Twin Peaks contest to make sure Wyndham Earle doesn't get his queen. Except Wyndham Earle, he's dressed up in his best costume yet. He's dressed up as the log lady. And Bobby, he's there. Bobby Briggs is there. And he sees the real log lady at the bar. Then he looks behind him and he sees Wyndham Earle dressed as the log lady behind him. And he goes to confront Wyndham. And he gets smashed in the head with a log. So Donna confronts Ben Horn behind the stage, demanding to know what's going on with Ben Horn and her mother. Ben, he has this newfound desire to be good and honest, and it drives him to tell Donna the truth. She actually beats him to it. She calls it out first. She realizes, she says, "You're my father," and she's appalled by this. And she runs away. This is like Star Wars, but better, right? She can't believe that's her real father. She loves Dr. Hayward. I mean, how brutal. These women in Twin Peaks, man, they go through it. And where's James? He's still in Mexico? Where's James when Donna needs him? So Annie, she's giving her speech. And she uses the words from Chief Seattle. I guess that's why Seattle has that name. Chief Seattle. About the forest holding Native American spirits. And talks about how saving forests is like saving ourselves. And again, she references the shadow. It's about the parts that we deny. And the inner is like the outer. That's a very as above, so below, macro, micro, magician sort of idea. Take a listen.
And to illustrate my point, I'd like to quote these words from Chief Seattle, leader of the Suwamish tribe. "Your dead are soon forgotten and never return. Our dead never forget the beautiful world that gave them being. They still love its verdant valleys, its murmuring rivers, its majestic mountains. When the last red man has vanished from this earth, these forests and shores will still hold their spirits. For the Indians love the earth as a newborn loves its mother's heartbeat. Why have we all lost touch with this beauty? Maybe saving a forest starts with preserving some of the feelings that die inside us every day. Those parts of ourselves that we deny. For if we cannot respect that interior land, then neither can we respect the land we walk. So let us, in walking gently upon the earth, leave behind a simple legacy. That we're new warriors. Mystic warriors who love the earth and try to save it. Thank you very much."
So it seems like Annie is still talking about this shadow idea and about the forest having shadow and spirits. They're hitting us over the head with it at this point. So Lucy's backstage with Dick and Andy, and finally, she selects Andy to be the father of her child. And Dick Tremaine, he's like, "Cool, peace out." He runs away. And then Andy, he's immediately out too, and you're like, what a jerk. Because he says he's got to go get Cooper. But, you know, Andy is being used as a conduit of White Lodge energy, I think. So he's got a higher calling right now. Because Andy's a good guy. And Lucy's just like, these guys, man. She's left all alone. Finally, Miss Twin Peaks is announced. And it's Annie Blackburn. Yeah, that's right. The newest resident of Twin Peaks. She's been in town about 3 days. Even Mayor Milford's upset about this. Cooper's clapping, but he's shook now. Now he realizes, oh my God, Annie's in danger. Putting in the position of Wyndham Earle killing his second true love. And then the worst happens. The lights cut out. Strobe lights kicking on. There's explosions. Gas is being released. Everyone panics and starts running. We see Wyndham Earle, as the log lady, of course, hunting for Annie, and Cooper is trying to intercept. But to no avail. Wyndham chloroforms Annie and drags her out of there. Cooper got blasted with a flashbang grenade. He can't see. But he tells Truman and Wyndham Earle, like, hey, he got, he tells Truman that Wyndham Earle got out with Annie. He's like, go stop him. And let me tell you, when you watch this, it's actually a very terrifying scene, because up until this point, you've had this whole White Lodge loving experience the whole episode, and you know, silly elements a little bit here and there, and it's terrifying. Wendell Merle is spiking the viewers with fear as well. Maybe trying to manifest and open a Black Lodge doorway in our world. I don't know. But the point is, Cooper's disoriented. And we find out that why... And Andy finally catches up to Cooper. And we find out why he was in such a hurry to leave Lucy. He reveals to Cooper that he understands the cave painting is actually a map. And that's where the episode ends. So your mission, my friend, is to finish this show. Season 2, episode 22, the season finale, aka the series finale, if you were watching this as an OG back in the day. You thought this was it. And in fact, I think I said this last time, but they held these last two episodes for a few months before they finally aired them. I think they aired them on the same night, back to back. And man, talk about going out with a bang. I mean, you ain't never seen a season finale like this one coming up, man. In fact, the first time I watched it, I was completely not ready. All of it went over my head. I said, what the hell is going on in this show? I had to watch this whole show twice to figure out, I mean, three times to figure out anything of what's going on. I'm still confused. But we're gonna try our best to point out the symbolism, try to make sense of it, and come up with a cohesive theory about the occult concepts baked into the show, because they're there, especially when you watch this season finale. I'm so excited for you guys. So go watch this last episode and come right back here to the Grey Lodge, and we're gonna unpack it. Thank you for your support. Till next time, stay positive.